keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey guys, hopefully you can hear us now. I don't know what's going on, but we're having some connectivity issues here. And I think we're good. So hey guys, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Thanks to our intro music, Ponder and XL. And make sure you guys check out UCY.TV and all the great hosts. They just added a couple new shows. And I mean, we're talking about some of the best internet radio shows on the web. So make sure you check it out. Bookmark UCY. Check back every day. Anytime you got free time. Anytime you're in the car, stuck in traffic like I am. Turn on UCY, and you can hear some awesome alternative perspectives to what's going on here. And I'm joined here by my co-host, DB. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Just reading up on everything going on. And I mean, we're looking at so many different things going on at the same time. It's a parade right now. It's definitely crazy.
Yeah, we're getting hit at every angle now. Of course, you got the normal mainstream media bogus nonsense. They're fixated on this Bo Bergdahl story, which I think is just an inflated story. It's shouldn't be talked about the way it's being talked about.
No, I mean it's just this is a distraction. In fact, an article came out where a Navy SEAL said, you know what, listen, look for something major to happen as a result of the circus. Anytime something huge comes out like this, something even bigger will fly right under the radar, and people just won't even look at it. It's just pure distraction at this point. You know, you can't trade five leadership role Taliban guys for one defector and call it a fair trade. And last I heard, we didn't trade, so this is a new policy shift. I mean, I'm thinking they're giving up on the Middle East altogether. From what I've been looking at, Iraq is falling as we speak.
Yeah, man, Iraq is. I mean, Operation Iraqi Freedom did not accomplish its goal. I mean, so let's look at the reality here. Iraq is a lot worse off now than they were before Saddam was taken out. They're a lot worse off now than before we went in there and quote unquote liberated these people, because before we went in there, it wasn't even, there weren't even terrorists in that country. I mean, yeah, you had Saddam Hussein, which was a fascist, right, you know, dictatorship or whatever.
He was the terrorist.
But they didn't have these insurgent al-Qaeda groups in there. Now al-Qaeda's taken over whole towns. I mean, whole cities, giant cities. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, they took over Mosul, and they're all, and a lot of them are the guys that are now coming down from Syria, because Syria is, for all real intents and purposes, is over now. I guess pretty much it's going to continue to exist as a sovereign state thanks to the backing of Russia and Iran. But Iraq is now up for grabs because it's simply too costly. We just don't have the ability to stay over there any longer. The empire is bankrupt, so they know it. They're pressing us, and now we're giving them a $750 million embassy for free, essentially. I'm sure they'll move right in.
Yeah, and then you got this whole situation now, which I can see starting to happen in Iraq. Now, first of all, we've been doing it for a long time. I mean, let's think about it. We created Osama bin Laden. We created the al-Qaeda militant group and all that stuff. In Syria, we've been basically financing alongside with our allies in the region, like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Beirut, whatever. We've been financing the al-Qaeda-aligned rebels in Syria. Now, what we're starting to see in Iraq is these same rebels that we're financing in Syria, now they're pouring over into Iraq. Now Iran is basically helping out the Iraqi government. Meanwhile, we're helping out the Iraqi government. So, I mean, what we're talking about now is that we're unlikely bedfellows with Iran and Iraq. Meanwhile, we're fighting a proxy war on the other side in Syria, where we're financing these same guys that are now taking over Iraq. So, I mean, we're just talking about the worst foreign policy situation possible. That's what our quote-unquote leaders have created for us. And guess who gets to foot the bill? You and me and everyone else that's listening to this radio show tonight. We get to pay for it. Not them. All they get is an increased standard of living, bonuses, you know, private sector jobs and think tanks once they get out of government. And we get to pay this bill. We get stuck with all this debt, all this bad, these bad ideas, all this blowback that is inevitably going to come back in the form of legitimate terror strikes sooner or later, and we're going to get hit, and it's going to be a product of our foreign policy. And this hubris and this arrogance that we have overseas is going to come back and bite us in the ass. And we're seeing all these countries. We talked about it a few weeks ago, how China and Russia are getting out of the dollar for a lot of their transactions. I mean, it's just all it is blowback from our foreign policy. That's what it seems like to me.
Yep. I mean, the ultimate blowback is going to be when any of these things actually escalate into something akin to a war with another super state or two at a time, or whatever's being set up right now on the world stage just doesn't look good for me and you, man. And people should, I hope, wake up to that fact. You know, everything can coincide all at one time, and it makes a perfect storm. We could have a dollar collapse and basically the beginning of a major conflict happened simultaneously. In fact, that's happened several times before in history. And are people prepared? Not at all. So you have this perfect storm brewing right now in our country. In other countries, it's not the same, man. They have food. They grow food. We're completely at the whim of a corporate food system, and it's going to rear its ugly head here soon if things don't, you know, scale down in the trajectories they're going.
Yeah, man, and we got to just be aware of it, you know, and we can try to stop it as much as we can, you know, and the most important part is being aware and knowing what's going on, and we all know the signs of a power grab. We all know the signs of a police state. I mean, we see them every day in the news. You know, so you got, of course, this backwards foreign policy, and like you said, it's pretty much like they're giving up on the Middle East. Yeah, because they failed. They jumbled the place up so bad, maybe they were trying to do it. But let's face it, the American people aren't willing to make those expenditures any longer. I don't know anybody that was in agreement with sending those billions and billions of dollars over to Ukraine to help them kill their own people in the East. I don't know anyone that wanted to do that, you know, and these politicians are just acting unilaterally. They're just, okay, we're going to send billions of dollars to the new Ukrainian government, even though they're killing anybody that disagrees with them. So these guys are going to be forced to pull back from the global stage, but guess what? They're militarizing the police forces, and now with these idiots that gunned down these cops in Vegas, they're trying to frame anybody who's against the government as a right-wing extremist terrorist, more or less.
Of course. It's been going on, and this is it's been hitting now. Like it went into the eight-cylinder V8 mode here with now another kid in Oregon. You know, he had an AR-15 apparently in his backpack. Now that's going to get extreme gun legislation passed in Oregon. It will be the coast, man. It's always going to be the coast. Just remember that. And it's going to happen with a quickness. They have to do it now because at any moment, the economy will zero out. And if they're not prepared completely, if they don't have everything processed right away, it'll be pandemonium and it'll go the way they don't want it to, which is like going to be a civil, pretty much, you know, conflict within ourselves. We're going to fight for resources, you know. We're basically, what's happening now is we're being kicked off the world stage subtly. People don't get it yet. There's a Nicaraguan canal being built right now. If that doesn't signal whistles in your head that the U.S. will become Fortress America and cut out of the world economy soon, I don't know what will. They're building Internet 2.0. I mean, if you're a diehard patriot and you love your country, by all means. But if something doesn't change, we'll be Citadel America soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, man. And they're these idiots in the Republican side of things up here in Congress. Now, if you look at this thing with Eric Cantor, now of course Eric Cantor was an absolute idiot, Goldman Sachs tool, great. Now the only reason he was able to stay close in the polls is because he went and he tried to run towards the anti-immigration platform. And the guy that replaced him, you know, this is pretty big because Eric Cantor was basically the leader of the Republican House. Now, the guy that's replacing him is even more anti-immigration. And what we're seeing now is a misplaced blame where these people, these simple-minded people, are now trying to blame immigrants for the sad state of our economy. And it just couldn't be more misplaced when we think about what's really causing the damage here. And we're talking about the largest foreign policy in the history of mankind and probably the biggest financial system in the history of mankind. So, I mean, these are the real problems that we need to look at. And a couple hundred thousand, a million people coming across the border is small beans compared to what's happening at the top and where all the wealth is really being siphoned.
Yeah, I mean, and it's getting even worse. I'm reading an article that pretty much states that while the economy, in its sense, only grew 3.6% at best, that's worldwide, that the wealth in private hands grew by 14.6. The wealth increase, the interest rate, the exponential interest rate on massive fortunes is now growing faster than the economy can possibly keep up. And this is what's driving this resource destruction cycle right now. It's unabated wealth. When you have a guy that has that kind of wealth and not putting it into play into the economy because he's hoarding it, because he knows he'll get richer and richer the longer he sits on it, well, that implodes the economy. That's what's going on, man. And the offshoring of what people are earning in this country and not paying tax on, I think it passed $100 billion today, which pretty much would pay for college for everybody. So it's just, it's ridiculous. And people are getting wealthy and not paying their fair share and then bouncing. I mean, you remember how we always love to talk about brain drain? Wealth drain's happening now at an unprecedented level. I mean, you're seeing investing companies come in and grab entire neighborhoods for a dollar house right now. I mean, what do you think that'll do to anybody's house in that area, even if it's a nice one? I mean, this is just the wholesale marketing of everything that used to be sovereign here.
Yeah, man. And unfortunately, the media, which we all know is a mouthpiece of the rich, and the government is a reflection of the rich. And so, I mean, I'm hoping that anyone with any kind of awareness of the situation or at least educated or enlightened about what the hell is going on will understand that anyone blaming stuff on immigration, this is just as bad as what the Nazis did to the Jews. I mean, it's basically the same thing. They had a very bad situation. Hitler was able to come to power and say, hey, well, here's why it's bad. It's because of the damn Jews. They're taking all the money. You know, and that's exactly the same mind state that's starting to perpetuate back into Europe, and it was reflected in these recent elections for the EU parliament or whatever. And we're seeing it here in the U.S. with this new guy coming to power in the Republican Party. Now, don't get me wrong, Cantor was an absolute fool, but this guy isn't just as much of a fool. You know, and we're not making any progress by electing Republicans or Tea Party Republicans or progressive Democrats. It's the same thing no matter which way you cut it. And of course, all we're talking about is that what we know of this guy before he got elected. Now, we all know once these guys get elected, they start getting corrupted. And Cantor was a Goldman Sachs fool, and I wouldn't be surprised if Goldman Sachs went after this guy now.
Yeah, I mean, or he's under the sway of somebody else already. You know, he could be a Koch brother guy. We don't know. There's no way to tell with dirty money now who gets what. It goes into these PACs, and the PACs distribute them out, and this guy could have been bought and paid for by a completely separate competing interest group. And there's pretty much probably two or three dominant ones in the U.S. right now. There's the mouthpiece of the banking elite in Obama, and then there's a completely different one, which are the robber baron industrial kings that will continue to pilfer the world using the U.S. military at odds with the other group, because honestly, nobody can come up with a different economy, even though we all know we need to go to the green one now. And that's what all wars come from, man. It's just that simple. All wars come from these interests, and these interests buy everybody that gets in no matter what. I'm not saying DART's, you know, completely bought and paid for, but you don't get in anymore on that level without somebody paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pay-to-play game. It's been shown that the policy only reflects the rich. They don't represent us anymore. I mean, that enough. I mean, to me, I mean, I know one of the founding fathers, and I really hate to idolize these guys, but one of them said, hey, when the government no longer represents the people, it's not only your right, but it's your duty to go in and get these guys out of power, you know? Unfortunately, the media has become so embedded with the government that all the people, most of the people that vote end up watching TV, and so that they're able to control it that way, and they're able to appease us by saying, well, you voted for it, you can't complain about it if you voted for it.
Which is, it's true, actually. If you vote, you really can't complain because you're buying into this whole system. I'm not saying that not voting makes you absolved of being part of the system either, but at least you're conscientiously objecting if you're not just being lazy about it. There's two ways we can go. We can take power away from people and give it to technocrats, which are basically, this is the Obama way. The scientists make up policy, and it's going to be bad for a lot of people, trust me, because they're going to use your productivity and your value to pretty much dictate your lifestyle. And they can do that on an individual level. It's not very hard. But there's also this second notion that things will improve because of technology shifts. That's what we're hoping for now, is like, it doesn't matter if we get technology in place before our economy is really, really affected on a world stage, because we can be self-sufficient with what we have.
Yeah, and I guess that's the whole struggle in the end. Is it going to be top down or bottom up? You know, and it's kind of this whole thing, especially with the trickle down economics and all that stuff. It's all basically a fallacy. The top down approach doesn't work. It's never worked. It's been tried how many times? Thousands, maybe, and it just doesn't work.
And the second way is just going full on democracy where you vote from your cell phone. Just stupid stuff where the numbers will be insane, but it will dictate the popular will because it's just going to be so convenient to vote. No polling stations. I mean, think about it. We always like to make the argument that you can easily hack a polling station. A lot of them are paper, and paper can be lost. People aren't going to go re-vote. It's too easy at this point to manipulate it. It's been manipulated. It's been proven to be manipulated for presidents, even within the last two or three decades. And it's dumb to keep using these old ways. It's like we always talk about, at some point a computer program will need to take over government and make decisions, you know, because people right now are showing they cannot be trusted to lead other people.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad. You know, and I was in an argument the other day with a friend of mine, and we kind of got down in this argument. Well, you know, she was saying that, well, you know, we need government because there's a bunch of bad, stupid people out there, and who, you know, we need someone to keep the order. Okay. Well, then, you know, the way I countered it was like, well, yeah, I agree. There are bad, stupid people. So why would we put bad, stupid people in charge of millions of other people? That doesn't really make that much sense, because if there's one bad, stupid person, he may be able to hurt himself or maybe hurt 5 or 10 other people. But if you put someone in a place of power and they make a stupid decision, for instance, when the government got us into this war with Iraq that we should have never got into, how many people had to die over that? A lot.
A million minimum.
Yeah, a million Iraqis died, thousands and thousands of Americans.
Well, how many will go in a civil war that's sure to brew now as we leave it, because we just simply can't afford it anymore? And they're going to take over a lot of assets we'll just pump and dump because we don't want to pay to ship them back. A lot of the older tech will fall into the hands of these guys. And if you remember the Ottoman Empire and what a caliphate is, that's what could be possibly brewing right here. I mean, if Iraq turns into a rogue state with a lot of our tech, that's not a good situation for anybody, really.
Yeah, man, and you know, that's the thing, is that now there's a wide swath of area over there between all that area between Syria and Iraq that is basically under the control of these Islamic extremists. And guess what? All of our bombing and all of our drone bombing and all that stuff over there, all that does is reinforce their ideas. It says, see, look how bad the West is. Look how bad the Americans are. They keep bombing your neighborhoods. You want to put up with that, or do you want to join us? You know, and so their recruiting is probably through the roof right now. I mean, let's face it, all of our efforts have been at cutting off the heads of these organizations. And then when you cut off a head, all you do is force it to decentralize, which makes it more effective. You know, and so the whole war on terror is completely backwards. It needs to end like yesterday. It should have ended a long time ago. It should have never started. Because you can't wage a war on an idea. It's just foolish, and it's a waste of lives, resources, and it could end up to be what leads to the collapse of our system, of the U.S. American monetary, you know, economic system.
Well, yeah, definitely. There's like so many different fronts right now dragging the economy down. And some of them are foreign challengers that are just seriously legitimate advances by other countries, which is China. And now it looks like even with Russia and what they've been able to acquire in Snowden, that technology gap is not going to be quite as big as we'd all thought. And our ability to dominate worldwide is really dropping at this rate, an exponential rate by these things happening. So you have that, and then you have, for sure, just the world economy is imploding, so a lot of people will flee here because it's a bit safer, or even a lot safer than Central America. And added people will just drain the system on top of the wars and on top of Obamacare that's going to just completely, you know, pretty much destroy our healthcare system as we know it. I don't know if you saw it today, Nick, but the first time I can remember that the House and Senate unanimously passed a bill allowing vets to seek healthcare outside of the VA system, and that the doctors could build a government.
Yeah. I think we touched on that a little bit on Monday.
We did. Well, that passed. So that passed today.
Nice.
And it's nice until you understand what that does with Obamacare. Now, it's going to make this a nightmare for a lot of reasons because of just the pure bureaucracy of it. But if the VA guys are allowed to go outside of system, does that mean I can also go out of system for what I signed up for and build a government?
I mean, it's probably up to the loophole, depending on how big this law is and how complicated it is.
I mean, not that we deserve it more than they do. They should get health care for sure, but they should also have VA setups everywhere. I mean, and there's just not enough of them. What are these private doctors going to do? They won't know these guys' histories. They're not going to know what it's like to be a soldier like a lot of the VA doctors have been. So it's just a totally different environment.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what the problem is, but we're having disconnecting problems. Anyway, we're on the VA. Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, man. I don't know what happened. We had a connection. Something wrong with the connection there. I don't know if the NSA doesn't want us doing our show tonight or what, but we're here. Stick with us if we have another fallout, but we're going to be here. we're on the VA. I don't think you got to finish what you were saying.
I mean, it's. I believe that, you know, it can be solved in a way that's better for them and for us, because if they keep going to these private doctors, they're going to rack it up. We know that. We know that already, that they see the government as basically unlimited pockets, and it is, because it prints money, and they know that. So it's gonna raise our rates, for sure, dumping these guys into these systems. They need to be set up with additional VA facilities, I don't think 24 additional facilities is going to cut it. When we have tons, millions of returning vets now, it's just, it's not doing enough. It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, almost everything that these guys are doing are just Band-Aid situations. And now, back to what we were starting, what we talked about at the beginning of the show a little bit here, with these idiots that shot the cops out in Vegas. Now, apparently, they threw a "Don't Tread on Me" flag on these guys, on the cops. And now, supposedly, they also threw a Nazi flag on the cops, which I haven't seen any pictures of, can't confirm, but that's what they're saying in the media. Now, I mean, the other thing they're trying to do is just link all these people in with anybody that disagrees with the government now. Oh, you disagree with the government? Okay, you're a right-wing extremist cop killer. You know, right. And it's just completely insane. Now, Obama was made a speech about this student debt thing that he did, which apparently is actually not the worst legislation ever. It's actually could help some people. And now while he's talking about this student loan debt situation, he comes out and he's like, yeah, well, you know, gun violence is off the charts and there's school shootings everywhere and this, that, and the other thing. But, I mean, this is just part of these guys trying to frame this whole thing up. I mean, now if you look at the real stats, gun violence is almost at an all-time low. We've been having very low rates of violence, gun violence, compared to the past. So, no, we're not having this. All of a sudden, we're not just having this epidemic of gun violence. It's just that the media is pushing out this agenda, and that's one thing that we have to be aware of. Because they're going to keep pushing this thing, and there's inevitably going to be all these shootings. And once again, what we talked about is the government trying to ban or severely restrict gun ownership, when that is nothing but a Band-Aid over the top of the situation. Once again, they're not addressing why there's so many people going out on these killing sprees. They're not talking about the fact that 90% of these killers are on psychotropic drugs and all this stuff. So they're just trying to say, well, reactionary thinking, ban guns. So, I mean, that's just what we're seeing everywhere, and we're seeing it again here with the VA. We're seeing it again here with Obamacare. And none of it addresses the underlying structural problem, so therefore none of it is actually effective. None of it's going to really help the real problem.
Right. It'll never get to the root cause. It's just pharmaceuticals and a certain percentage of people cause depression, even if they're supposed to cure it, or they cause schizophrenia, and they have all these side effects, man. And if you throw even some booze in there, it gets worse. We've talked about it numerous times. There are natural ways to do it, but they're unprofitable, and they've been stigmatized, and they're criminalized, and it's ridiculous, and it'll just lead to now a very tough legislation going to happen in Oregon, where if you're at all, if you've ever talked to a therapist, ever, You're not going to be able to get anything legally as far as any kind of gun. So these kind of things will come up. They're draconian. They're intended to just slowly whittle away it until they have the what Obama loved to say, it worked so well, the Australian method. Now, the Australian method works great. It does. They don't have mass shootings and all those things like that. But people are paid a living wage. They have free health care and free college. That's how you get rid of violence. Violence is almost always economic, or it's caused by crazy-ass drugs making people go insane. That's it.
Oh, hey, how big is Australia's defense budget?
It's pretty big for what they have, because they actually do need to protect themselves, but it's nowhere like ours, and they have tons of social programs. That's the thing. Yeah, high cost of living, but what, 17-something an hour for minimum wage, and there's tons of jobs, and I mean, it's set up more efficiently.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things, man. It's so many people are so upset with the U.S. government is because we get taken so much from. We get pillaged, basically, robbed, and we have nothing to show for it but a bunch of people that hate us around the world because we've been bombing their countries for the past 20 years. So, I mean, that's the thing. Is I'm not a believer in big government or anything like that. But a lot of these countries in Western Europe, and maybe in Australia as well, they at least they have something to show for their taxes, and that's one thing that in America we really don't. What do we have to show for it? We have an education system that's failing. We have a gigantic prison population. We got a bunch of 150 different military bases. I mean, we're in 150 different countries. We got almost 900 bases. I mean, that's what we have to show for it. Nothing. There's nothing domestic here. There's they're not helping anybody. And the small bit that people do get, the food stamps and all this stuff, they get torn apart by the Republicans. So both parties are complicit in this problem. And I hate to say it, but Ron Paul had it right when he was running back in 2012. He was saying, look, first we reel in the defense budget, and then we fix the economy, then we look at the social, the welfare state, and all that stuff.
Because, well, we can't. That's not a function to the elite arm of the world. We are the sword. We're a corporation. I mean, the government sits inside of a corporate fiefdom. Where did you know that it's legal to smoke a joint in D.C.? Like, it's completely different, and people don't get that. It's not part of our country, and our country is not even a country. It's set up as a charter of a company. So it's not going to change. Now, what we can do, though, is we can change the policies that our government enacts now in advance of what we see is happening. Because let's just face it, in America, if you have a full-time job and it's pretty good, life's all right. I mean, you're probably pretty content. But if for any reason you go through an extended unemployment, you understand what it is to live here. You have nothing. You have no safety net. They don't give money to former workers because they consider you lazy. They'll give it to habitual abusers, though, no problem, just to keep them in the system and keep the system funded by all the middle class. But to live here and to lose employment for many years, you really begin to see that there's this enormous, enormous amount of money being taken from everyone, and it's not going anywhere where it's needed. It's going straight into the military to do whatever. And we don't even know what they're doing, honestly, with 700 or how many bases we have. We have no idea what's going on right now in our names.
Yeah, so it's going there, and then it's getting funneled upward into the banking system, and then out of the banking system into all these trust funds that are the real richest entities in the world aren't these dudes that are on paper like Bill Gates. No, Bill Gates is small. Bill Gates is child's play when it comes to the real.
These
deal.
Are hundreds of trillions of dollars of trust funds. They've been found. There've been so-called Chinese hackers that have found these hidden things on the net with trillions and maybe even quadrillions of assets, just numbers in an account. Because at this point, that's all it is. It's printing out cotton Federal Reserve notes that a big portion of people believe in, and a bunch of numbers that another portion of people believe in, and then a giant military for everyone else that doesn't. And that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly, man. I couldn't agree more. I mean, that is our metallic backing, like in the Constitution. You know, they advocate for a bimetallic money standard
gold
where
note.
It's based on gold and silver or whatever.
Like now our gold ruble coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And now our backing for our military, I mean, for our monetary system, isn't gold or silver. Now it's backed by steel and titanium and gunpowder, you know, and nukes and all that stuff. And that's our strength. And that's what we did with Libya. You know, that's why we did what we did with Libya, because they were getting ready to challenge our monetary system. Now Russia and China are so big, when they decide to stop dealing in the dollar, I mean, you know, all we're going to see are these proxy wars start to pop up, because there's no way in hell we're going to go and challenge Russia or China in a ground war. I mean, that'd be insane. No one wants to fight a ground war nowadays.
No.
The only wars there are either covert, guerrilla.
Space.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, we wouldn't want to go and challenge a ground war over in Russia or China. If anything, we're just if they want to keep moving away from our currency, then we'll just keep engaging them in proxy wars and keep trying to weaken their economy until they bow out. You know, and that's what we did to the USSR back when the USSR fell. We were able to force them to bow out because we destroyed their monetary system.
Right. And at this point, it's you have to know that all these guys at the top all are part of the same club. This is really theater to have a global control grid set up with a tri-country force. It's been in the plans forever that, you know, 700,000 troops from China, Russia, and the U.S. each, so a standing army of 2.1 million, would basically patrol and control the world. Why? Because they're super high tech. You know, when you group together the three countries and their resources and people, you have a trifecta that would go, you couldn't challenge it. The rest of the world could come together and there'd be nothing they could do. And you have the New World Order, the One World Order. But the problem is now is that there's people in these countries at the top that are starting to disagree, because some people are way ahead in certain texts and other people are way ahead in other texts. And there's multiple transhuman kind of things going on now. Like, we're going towards android type stuff or towards robotics. And Russia's going towards an entirely different way of making new biological bodies. The people at the top have major disagreements of how to run the world for the next 50 years, when things are going to change so completely that we have no idea what it'll be like.
Well, then you got the Orwellian factor, where you got these three superpowers where they just agree to disagree, and they're like, look, if we all work together and if we do create a one world government, then guess what? That gives all the public a person to blame. Now, if you set it up, which if you think about it, just like the two-party system here in the U.S., where you don't make it just one party because everyone's going to be against that party, you make it two parties to make the two parties fight against each other and blame each other back and forth. And it makes more sense, because then they could just have these phony proxy wars where they know damn well, maybe they know damn well nobody's going to win. But and they just have these wars party. Going. They just have these wars going to just deplete the resources and deplete all the human energy that's going into all this, you know, misplaced hate, misplaced anger, which is why you have these anti-immigration Republicans, which is why you have what the Nazis were able to do with the Jews and all that stuff. It's misplaced anger where they're blaming the wrong people. And that's exactly why they would want to do it. Instead of doing a one-world government, they want to keep it where it's split up between three ways so that they could all just keep blaming it on each other. The public just says, oh, yeah, well, it's China's fault. Let's go fight China in a proxy war. Okay, that's done. You know. And that's kind of what it seems to me like that's what they want to do, and that's what they're doing right now.
And it works on a lot of different levels. It's great you touch on that, because it is Orwellian. It's 1984. It's the tri-state solution, where you have these massive... I mean, anybody in the world that fights any of the three superpowers is dust overnight, except the three of them fighting each other. As long as you keep this proxy war charade going, it'll keep a balance for a while until we completely deplete all of our resources, and then the people that have built their ships or whatever the heck they have going on will leave. So that's the thing we have to look forward to if we don't stop this pretty much paradigm that's been going on forever. So... we know what we need to do. We know we need to make a push to do it, and that's simple. That's just making our tax base work for us and our country to make us get European benefits from it. College education should be free, and they're talking about that now, of making higher education free, and I know it's at the community college level. I don't know if you heard about that, Nick, but they're talking about now offering four-year degrees from community colleges. So that'll be interesting, and they can roll that into a subsidized college care. But honestly, unless it's single payer, meaning it's just rolled into our national budget, it's all going to be these Ponzi schemes like Obamacare. And I don't know if you read today, but they had 8 million people sign up since it was rolled out, and 6 million of them are Medicare, and they're subsidized to nothing.
Damn, yeah, man. So this whole system is going to probably come down on itself.
Yeah, it can't be funded, because... we're already having a problem with doctors leaving. A lot of people now come here for medical school and go home to India or to Korea or wherever. They don't want to participate in the system. They'll take the education, which is second to none, but then they're gone. And imagine when you have all these people flooding emergency rooms and everything like that and no doctors anymore. And now they're going to raise the standards, which already were really, really, really hard for most people, and make it very hard to get into our schools and make this glut of doctors. I'm not sure what in the heck's going to happen here in the next 5 to 10.
Well, I mean, it seems to me like Obamacare is going to go into what was predicted, which is a primary death spiral, right? Where basically there's so few people that are healthy and young that sign up for this stuff that aren't going to have to use it. There's not enough of them to pay for all the people that are going to be taking out of it, right? So, I mean, it's going to be, a year or two before the premiums get so high that people are just going to have to stop paying them. They're going to have to stop paying it.
It's that, or the fines get so high at $4,000 or $5,000 a year that they become what the insurance would cost. So you have to weigh in your mind. do I want to pay for it every month, or do I want to have this massive fine at the end of the year, which will accumulate interest? And just at what point where will the debt become high enough where you go bankrupt? And at what point will it be that everybody's so bankrupt that nobody can extend anything in credit anymore, and now we have no home ownership? I mean, at all. So these things are all trickle down. It's just like the student debt bubble. If it ever burst, if it ever became where all these people defaulted, then the banks are so overextended, they're going to start pulling from depositors, and that's what we're starting to see now.
Yeah, they're going to do that, which they did in Cyprus, and then now the whole EU is gone under this negative interest rate theory, where basically anybody with money in the bank is losing money. I guess they're doing it to encourage spending, to encourage in quote unquote investment. But see, that's not investment when you're making it so that you're going to lose money if you don't do it. You know what I mean? Because then it's going to create a big bubble, man. It's going to be a bunch of people spending money on stuff that isn't really a great investment, but they got to spend the money, otherwise they're going to be losing money.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's lunacy, man. I don't even know where to go from there.
Yeah, man. And so, I mean, underlying, I guess, a lot of our problems, a lot of our issues is this whole monetary system. We talked about it on Monday as well with the VA. The VA is a victim of the monetary system. Anybody on entitlement is a victim of the monetary system. And, you know, one thing we forgot to mention last week is the education system and how the education system is being screwed by the Fed as well. And it's screwed by the creation of money and the inflation, because the education system, just like any other government institution, more or less, has a budget where it only gets a limited increase every year. Sometimes it doesn't get an increase. So it's not keeping up with this 10%, 12% inflation rate that we're seeing with all the staple products like gas, food, and water and all these things. So these are all symptoms of this problem, right? So the big question is the monetary system, the economic system, the food system, and it's stuff that we always talk about. And now it's starting to rear its ugly head, and this next story here just totally pissed me off. But I started seeing these images going viral online about these homeless spikes that they're putting in. In
travesty
in England, and they're talking about doing it here and stuff.
Nah, we'll just sue it out of there. That's the best thing about it. Over there, they can't do much because it's a rich Tony area, and maybe they'll pop up in Beverly Hills. Whatever. If they want to pay for it, you know, the richest communities want to pay for it. Well, the homeless just need to have an advocate that'll work pro bono, honestly, for a class action for them. I don't think that could be possible over there in quite that way.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing, is that these spikes, and now here in San Diego, it's nearly just as bad. I mean, they put all these, I don't know if you've seen these bus benches where they have railings in between every seat. Or bumps between every seat, and they're not to keep your ass in within the seat. These are to keep homeless people from sleeping on the benches. You know what I mean? From helping the homeless down here in San Diego, from doing these feeding people and getting them warm clothes in the winter and stuff, I met a lot of people that were getting massive amounts of tickets. They're just getting ticket after ticket [S2] Right. [S1] After ticket just for sleeping on the street. You know, so I mean. All of this stuff, all the homeless and the amount of people in poverty, the amount of children that are hungry, it's all more of this symptom of this whole system, you know, this whole this idea of centralized economics. I mean, I guess that's the overlying theme, is the overlies economics, where it's controlled by the hands of a few, therefore the many get pretty much left out of the situation.
It's freakonomics at this point. It's like they're saying the power that's concentrated now will turn the tides of the entire global economy. And how many people sit on the boardroom of Goldman Sachs? What, like 12 guys? I mean, you have like maybe a few thousand people in these major power positions that will affect 7 billion. You know, it's at that point, because the illusion of choice is truly terrifying when you look at how 90% of all corporations are all interrelated to, I don't know, maybe 12 parent companies worldwide. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's totally concentrated. The next wave will be they just come out and go, hey, we control everything. Now, will people buy into it? I don't know. The thing we can do still is use government to get things like a farm for free for people on government land that's sitting there doing nothing. That could be probably passed through. I couldn't see anybody saying no to that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. And now here's the other thing, man, and this thing is kind of flying under the radar here. Now, it's being talked about widely on the likes of Drudge Report, conservative talk show, this, that, and the other. We mentioned it a bit earlier with the immigration and stuff. But I think it ties in here with the homeless people and also what's going on down in Brazil, too, with the World Cup, and we're going to get to that in a sec. But I don't know if you've noticed, man, but there's all these kids coming across the border, and you know what's, yep. You know what's happening now? They're setting up FEMA camps, dude.
Yeah.
The FEMA camps are being set up to house these youth coming up from Mexico. And yeah. This isn't a conspiracy theory or anything like this. Everybody likes to talk about the FEMA camps, but guess what? They're absolutely real, and they're being set up right now because they're running out of space to house all these immigrant kids that are coming across the border. Because they're catching them, and instead of letting them just start to disperse throughout the country, they're holding these people all in the border region as if that's going to help something. So now the other thing that's going on, and it's just a complete disconnection from reality, just like everything else that's going on here, is there have been missiles installed on apartment buildings in Brazil for the World Cup in order to, quote-unquote, protect the airspace around the World Cup. And now they're deploying 200,000 troops into the streets to push back from these protests and these protesters. And today was like the commencement of the World Cup, and believe me, the protests were going big. I mean, we're talking about there were protests of teachers. These were teachers out protesting, and they were getting rowdy, man. They were like almost to the point of rioting, and we're talking about teachers.
Yep, and that what did that do? Freed up the schools because they couldn't find anybody to teach, so all the kids were like, no teachers, I'm out of here. Kids running rampant all over the place, which of course sent their parents into a panic. And it's a breakdown right here. You see a failed state out in the open. What is a policy over there? Every man for themselves, here's what you get. You can't even run a world event there. How are you going to do the Olympics there? That'll probably be moved in some kind of surprise last minute thing now. I mean, they can't even build a stadium 3 days before. It's just a debacle. It shows what happens when too many, and I think this is pretty much, you can make the
Okay, now we're back on here. Now, what we were talking about was just how it's showing so much down in Brazil right now with this disconnect from reality with these bureaucrats. Now, they've spent something like $11 billion on these stadiums that they're building for the World Cup.
And $300 million was unaccounted for, too.
So yeah, and it's running rampant with corruption and all that. And now the people are absolutely just pissed off about it. And they're out going wild in the streets. They're deploying 200,000 troops to put the protests down. They got missiles on the roof. I mean, this is just absolutely insane, right? And now the media, and I saw there was even a sponsored ad on Facebook today from Facebook about this app that they came up with to keep track of the World Cup and all this stuff. And it's just, like, so disconnected, man. And these people are literally getting knocked down, dragged out, and literally killed in the process of knocking down these favelas to make space to build these nice stadiums and make it look great for the world. Right. I mean, these people literally care more about their superficial look. And let's face it, it's runs rampant in our society as a whole. Everyone's worried about this, the way it looks superficially, but they're not really worried about the inner workings and the fact that they got massive millions and millions of people living in favelas that are just completely. Poverty is it would be an understatement when we talk about these people. They're living on a dollar a day for the most part.
But why do they have poverty? They have a bigger natural resource base than we do by far. For everything you could ever think of, it's simply their government. It doesn't work. Ours can function, but honestly, it's hit its end here. And big countries inevitably, almost always, unless there's some huge cultural bond like the Han people in China, they break up into these mini countries constantly. So it just shows you can't efficiently run 200 million, 300 million, a billion, 1.3 billion people, countries with any kind of efficiency at all. Brazil should be very wealthy country. They have unlimited sustainable energy with dams and solar power. I mean, what in the heck are they doing cutting their rainforest down when it holds the key to who knows how many cures in the future for anything you think of? So poorly mismanaged, super corrupt, and typical of many Latin American countries. And the people there should change it. They should use the World Cup as pressure the government while you have a 2-year window and make it so they can't even do the Olympics if they don't make changes.
Yeah, man, and it's kind of it's pretty obvious to me that Brazil's probably got a very similar economy to what we have, where there's probably a few guys out there that have really good connections with the government that probably make billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, and there's probably overlying corporations and trust funds that probably make trillions off of it. And unfortunately, all the resources that they have and all the wealth that is being produced over there in Brazil, it's either being sucked to the very few at the top or sucked out of the country. And all the underclass, all the working class people kind of get stuck with the leftovers or lack thereof, and they end up living in the state of absolute poverty. Meanwhile, these other dudes maybe living a few miles away are making billions. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, their wealth disparity is to the point where you'll see helicopters flying over the traffic that doesn't move at all in Sao Paulo because guys don't mind paying $500,000 for a trip to work because they're making $1 million for that day. The poverty level is stricken, especially along the coasts. And the favelas pop up because people want to live where it's temperate and they can get some kind of food, but there's just nothing being spread around at all. And it's something we could, you know, unfortunately look forward to if we don't ourselves demand free education, free healthcare while we still can, while our government has some money they can do it with. And once we have all that stuff, we can have that European lifestyle where everybody contributes pretty much into the economy. We have a pretty high standard of living.
Hey guys, we're coming to the end of the show here. Make sure you guys check out Levon on Friday, and we'll be back with you guys on Monday night. Thanks for tuning in to the Anti-Media Radio. Hope you guys have a good week.
Through the stereo, yo, here we go through the stereo.